Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate, but only if you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208601455. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero, or I'll have to move swiftly on, especially nowadays when we're getting so many calls from all around the world. 44208601455. You can SMS me also at 44780008066, or you can email the show at comment@presstv.co.uk. And we're joined, as always nowadays at this time, by the wonderful listeners of the Vivid Colourful Radio. Colourful by name, colourful by nature, and based in London, but spreading out around the world online. Details are for this show only, I say, as always, to the listeners of Colourful Radio. Well, Netanyahu visited John Kerry, or maybe it was the other way around, even though it was in Washington. Who was holding court? It was difficult to tell from the subsequent press conference. But the visit had a very clear purpose. It was to try and wreck any possibility of a settlement of the political, diplomatic, and almost military standoff between the Islamic Republic of Iran and the United States of America. Netanyahu, the leader of what they call Israel, is absolutely, adamantly against any diplomatic talks over the issue of nuclear energy and the fear the United States says that it has that Iran is seeking to build a nuclear weapon. The Israelis want war. The United States has now opted, it seems, for jaw. But is there anything that Iran could do to reassure Israel? I very much doubt it, because Iran, with its support for the rights of the Palestinian people, is, in a sense, an existential threat to Israel. Not in the sense that Iran is going to attack Israel, still less with a nuclear weapon it doesn't even possess or intend to possess. Iran is not going to invade or attack Israel. But it is never going to abandon the Palestinian people. And if all the Muslim countries had the same attitude towards the Palestinian cause, the Palestinians would already be home from their refugee camps and their flag already flying in Jerusalem. But I'm asking, is there anything Iran could do to reassure what they call Israel? And I'm secondly going to discuss the often ignored subject of Iraq. In the month of July alone, the United Nations has said that more than 1,000 people were slain in sectarian slaughter. The Prime Minister of Iraq has described it as an Al-Qaeda war of genocide. And who can doubt that? Al-Qaeda, that is the same Al-Qaeda that Britain and the United States are supporting in nearby Syria, next door. It is a perfect example of a truth that I often find myself saying to Muslims and across the Muslim world. The United States and Britain has no preference between Sunni and Shia. It's ready to support Sunnis here and Shia there. It's ready to support Shia now, but not then. It is utterly oblivious to the difference between Sunni and Shia. All they want to do is make sure that the Muslim Ummah remains divided as possible. And if it is possible to have them fighting against each other, killing each other, whilst the imperial powers steal their things and the illegitimate child of the imperial system, what they call Israel, holds on to all of its ill-gotten gains, well, that suits the West very nicely. So why has the world forgotten Iraq? A million people died, after all, to change the political system there. And the people in power now were helped by the United States to establish their power. Why has the United States now abandoned them and the people of Iraq for Al-Qaeda? I really don't know the answer to that question, but I'm hoping that you do. These are, as always, just my views. If they are not your views, I especially welcome your call, SMS or email. Now, just let me bring you some breaking news. It's another Thursday, so it's another shooting at a U.S. military base, this time at the U.S. Naval Base near Memphis, Tennessee, where two soldiers have been injured. And just like the last time I brought you a story like this as breaking news on comment, the whole neighborhood is in lockdown. Seems to me the United States has more than enough problems at home without interfering in the views and the attitudes of others overseas. Now, as I say, these are my views. They're not necessarily anybody else's. And if they're different to you, I want to hear from you. Ali in Somalia is an outstanding caller, and we're very, very glad to hear from him. He wants to talk on the US-Iran track. Ali, welcome to the show again.
Assalamu alaikum, George.
Walaikum salam. Go ahead, sir.
After, you know, the Israeli establishment, the Israeli, the Zionist powers that they are seeing, at the moment, they're cleaning their tanks, so they must be panicking because, you know, for many decades now, they've used the U.S. and Britain as their sort of like guard dogs in the Middle East, and they're attacking them to, you know, to attack their neighbors. But, you know, their dogs are starting to lose their teeth now. No one, you know, America's lost its teeth back to now. You know, they're outplayed politically by Russia. And, you know, their financial system looks like it could collapse any time now. And, I mean, they don't know what to do because they wanted to attack Syria, and it didn't happen. And now they're trying to, you know, turn Sunni against Shia and trying to pressure Saudi Arabia to put pressure on America. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm in Somalia. I'm not going any difference between Sunni and Shia. First and foremost, I'm a Muslim. But I haven't seen anybody that's Shia here. But if they were, I would welcome them to my home. Because I don't see any difference between Sunni and Shia. I mean, we believe in one God.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, it's not a great line. And I apologize for that. But I got the gist of what you're saying. There are differences between Sunni and Shia. They are, of course, historic, and they are of importance, but they pale into insignificance compared to the differences between all the Muslims and those who oppress them, those who occupy their land, those who bomb them, who send drones to kill them. And it's my mission in life to persuade Muslims of that central truth. Sai is in Manchester, and he wants to talk about the US-Iran Israel paradigm also. Sai, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you? Okay?
Yes, by the grace of God, I'm good. Go ahead, sir.
Basically, I was just referring to your question in regards to Iraq and Israel, what will reassure them? My answer would be that the invasion of Iran will reassure them. I don't think Netanyahu understands diplomacy. This guy wants Iranian blood. He just wants to invade Iran, no matter what. He doesn't like diplomacy, and the new president Hassan Rouhani has reassured the international community by saying that he will let the UN inspectors in. But I don't think Netanyahu likes this because he's a pyromaniac. He wants blood. He wants to destroy Iran.
Of course, Israel cannot invade Iran. It can't dream of confronting Iran in a conventional war. It can't use nuclear weapons against a non-nuclear adversary. Israel doesn't even have the ability to, for example, recapture a little slice of the Gaza Strip, as we discovered again recently. So Netanyahu, if he is to get that Iranian blood, save for tawdry, sordid individual acts of murder, killing a scientist here or there. If he's to get Iranian blood on a big scale, he has to persuade the United States to shed that blood. And he can join in, piggyback on the back of the United States aggression. The problem for Netanyahu is that that aggression is looking less and less likely by the day. The Iranian and American presidents, if not throwing flowers at each other, are at least talking and announcing that they are happy that they are talking. And we're on our way, thanks to Iranian diplomacy and the change of atmosphere on the international level, we're on our way to a resolution of that nuclear issue. So let's talk next to Mahmoud, who is in Sweden. Mahmoud, welcome to the show.
From Sweden.
Yes, go ahead, Mahmoud. You're on the line.
Okay, Mahmoud, yeah, I was talking to the caller. Yes, George Galloway. Yeah, it's my great pleasure. I didn't have a time to have the comments last week. But fortunately, today I'm very strong and glad and happy.
Good.
By this comment that you have brought today, I want to talk about all these topics about the relationship between Iran and United States of America.
Yeah.
First and foremost, George Galloway, we must have to understand that there are some people who are blocking. It's not Netanyahu alone. There are some people who are working on behalf of Netanyahu there in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they are
not just in America.
Not in America.
Not just in America. In your own government, in Sweden. In my own government, in Britain.
Yeah, yes, yes.
In Arab governments. In Arab governments also.
In Saudi, yes, I agree. They are the ones who are trying to block this relationship with America and Iran. And keep in mind, they were under a sanction since the revolution, 34 years ago. And Iran had never invaded any country. Instead, they were the victim of this gas, Saddam, which were provided by the West and America.
300 years since Iran invaded anyone else's territory. 300 years.
300 years, they have never invaded any country.
Yeah.
And still, they are not a threat to Israel, but it's only the late Ayatollah Khomeini. He pronounced the last Friday of Ramadan is the day of Palestinian. And Nelson Mandela also declared that all peace-loving people does not accept oppression. Well, we don't accept the oppression of Israel, and Israel cannot oppress unless he is getting support from the West and America.
Yeah.
And about Iraq, genocide, the Shiite, I don't know. I'm not Shiite, I'm Sunni. But I call spade a spade. Evil is evil. Even if it's done by my father or my brother, I'll proclaim it.
Indeed,
evil.
The religion demands it. Mahmoud in Sweden, thanks for the call. Let's go to Senegal in Africa. Ahmed's on the line about Iraq. Ahmed, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Fazal, for having me.
It's very nice to talk to you. I don't think we've had a call from Senegal before.
Yes, you. I already.
Did you call me before? Please forgive me.
Yes, I called you before.
Good. Go ahead, sir.
Second time. And I'm still very, very pleased to be in touch with you.
Thank you, sir.
I would like to tell you that we appreciate very much what you are doing. This is not very consistent. And I know that you prefer the critics and all the rumors that make the things go further, but you can say anything else.
Thank you.
I appreciate very much what you're doing.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Go ahead.
Okay. I have this one question about Iraq and the politics of the United States of America in Iraq. I could be off topic a little bit, but what I'm asking is, how come that until today no one is held accountable for what has been done to the Iraqi people?
Well, look, I'll tell you what, Ahmed, because it's a bad line, I'm going to have to cut you short. But the Iraqi people have lost 1 million dead. They've lost 3 million as refugees, and Iraq is now in the midst of a wave of mass murder of thousands of people on a sectarian basis. And the Iraqi Prime Minister says it's an Al-Qaeda war of genocide. And I must say, that's what it looks like to me. Ahmed, thanks for the call. Sorry about the quality of the line. Faiza is on the line in Derby on the same subject. Faiza, welcome to the show.
Hello, George. Salam alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Nice to hear from you. Go on.
Yeah, I think the only way Iran is going to appease Israel is if they become Zionist. And I don't think that will ever happen. So I don't think anything they can do can appease Israel.
Yeah, so. That's right.
And my second comment is about America cutting food stamps for poor people. It's really amazing because being on food stamps in America, that means you are totally in poverty. It's not like you have savings or anything. So we're basically living in an upside-down world where the good is bad and the bad is good or something like that. I really don't know. I think we've embraced our evil side as humans and forgotten the good side. And may Allah deliver us from that.
Take us back to the Sirata Mustaqim.
Mustaqim, yes.
Thank you very much, Faiza. God bless you. Thanks for that call. We're asking, has the world forgotten Iraq? And could Iran do anything that would reassure what they call Israel? Abdullah's on the line in Dubai. We want to hear from him. Abdullah, welcome. Abdullah?
Yes?
Are you on the line? Go ahead, sir.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Galway. I'm glad to be on the show tonight and share my opinion with you and the viewers.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
All right. I think there can be no solution to the dispute between Israel and Iran because Israel cannot sit on the table with Iran to bury the hatchet. And simply because on one side, Israel is resolved and hell-bent on a conflict and has given itself hegemonic powers to violate Iran's airspace to destroy its nuclear installations. And on the other hand, Iran has brought forth its evidence time and time again to the international community and the IAEA that its nuclear plants are only to harness energy for peaceful purposes. And I think Israel has once again piggybacked on the U.S. to stir yet another war in the region.
Well, that's a wonderful call and a wonderfully clear line, Abdullah. However, let me make the point to you that if Israel alone were to attack Iran, she would be defeated. Iran has the means to answer any attack by Israel in devastating consequences. And there would be such a wave throughout the Muslim world about an Israeli attack upon Iran. The United States, the principal funder and armorer of Israel, would have a very, very serious choice to make. And I don't think that Netanyahu is convinced that the United States would make the decision to stand by Israel in those circumstances. That's why Netanyahu is in Washington. It's why he's holding court in John Kerry's office. But I don't think that the U.S. presidency is going to be led by the nose into a war with Iran. Not now. That's my view anyway, Abdullah. Thanks for the call in Dubai. Haider's in Iraq. Haider, has the world forgotten Iraq?
Assalamu alaikum, doctor.
Wa alaikum salam. Thanks for coming on the show. Go ahead.
How are you? I absolutely agree with you that America and Israel, they got benefit from the groups around the world according to their interests. But in Iraq, as you know, I am a Shi'i Muslim in Iraq. But we are suffering from the Al-Qaeda attacks to our people, our brothers, and they killed children, women, and there is no any difference between any man or woman or a child. The Qaeda group, supported. We know that it's by America and by Israel around the world. But the problem is that Arab countries around Iraq, they support Al-Qaeda against the Shia Muslim in Iraq.
Yeah.
Those Al-Qaeda, most of them, they were officers in Iraqi military during the Saddam regime.
Well, I was about to ask you, Haidar, let me ask you that question. I was about to ask you, who are these Al-Qaeda in Iraq? Are they Iraqis or are they foreigners?
The Al-Qaeda?
Yes.
Yes, Al-Qaeda, most of them, I think, I don't know exactly, but most of them, 70% Iraqi, and the others from other Muslim countries.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Especially, I think the suicidal attack, most of them from Arab countries or from Shishan or from Afghanistan. But the bomb cars from, I think, from a former official in from Saddam military. And there are many politicians now in Iraq, as you know, Tariq al-Hashimi and his and others, they support Al-Qaeda and they spend money to support their criminal attacks against Shia people. And sometimes they killed Sunni people who refused to support them.
Well, there's many Sunni people refuse to support them in Syria and in Iraq.
I agree with you.
The truth is, Haidar, unless the Iraqi people can rediscover what it means to be Iraqi, then there's no future for Iraq, except the kind of pictures that we were showing on the screen just a moment or two ago. Unless the Iraqi people can somehow surmount this sectarian hatred, then the whole country is going to be consumed in flames. Haidar, thanks for the call. Mohammed's in Wales. Always worth hearing. Mohammed, go ahead. Yes, Mohammed.
Good evening to you, George.
Good evening to you. Go ahead.
Right. I mean, why should Iran do things for Israel, right? Why does we, all Muslim, or some Muslim countries, have to bow to Israel's demands? Why should we sit down with them, right? What, to their rules and regulation, you know? I can't understand that. What, you know, your question for tonight, what should Iran do to please Israel?
No,
what
Mohammed, I carefully chose the word, not should. What would reassure Israel about Iran? Listen. And in a sense, it's a rhetorical question. Because I'm like you, I believe that nothing Iran could do, that they would do, would reassure what they call Israel.
Because what it is, George, they need, Israel need the enemy, right, okay, to keep Israel going, right? If there was a peace in the Middle East today, right, they can't go to America, they can't go to the rest of the world and plead poverty to them and say, look, we're going to be attacked by all other these Arab countries, right? Because they need enemy all the time to attack and get funding from European and America. Yet America people are starving themselves and European people are starving, you know? And we are giving millions and millions of dollars.
Billions, Mohammed. Billions of dollars.
Billions. Yeah, sorry.
From billions the United States alone, $7 billion a year in state, military, and private philanthropy. $7 billion transferring every year from the United States of America to a tiny little country on the Mediterranean with 6 million people living there, whilst Americans are going hungry in their tens of millions. It is remarkable, Mohammed, as you very succinctly pointed out. Now, God willing, I'll be back in just 3 minutes after this news break with the second half of comment. Don't miss it. Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Taking your calls on two big questions. What would reassure Israel about Iran? A question arising after Netanyahu took over John Kerry's office in Washington and ran the show, making it clear that he was completely opposed to the new American policy of talking and negotiating with Iran about the nuclear question and other questions. Is there anything that Iran could do? Is there anything that Iran should do to reassure Mr. Netanyahu? And has the world forgotten Iraq as the country plunges deeper into the grip of a sectarian war waged, according to the Iraqi Prime Minister, by Al-Qaeda? That's the same Al-Qaeda that Britain and America are supporting next door in Syria. These are the two questions. I want to hear your point of view. I've made mine pretty clear. You can call me, you can SMS me, or you can email me. It's all the same to me. I just want to hear from you. We're taking calls from as far afield as Iraq, as Somalia, as Dubai, and England, and indeed Wales. And now to France, where Nadim is on the line from Nice, a very beautiful town. Nadim, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hello there, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
By the grace of God, good, sir. Go on.
Good. Listen, I must agree with you on one point and disagree with you on another.
Welcome.
The point I agree with you 100% is that everything that weakens any Arab or other country in the Middle East, Israel will do it. Israel is in a long-term plan to divide and conquer. She will hit the Arabs either directly or through the U.S. U.S., as we all know, is quite has a politics that's controlled indirectly and directly by Israel, and it will eventually influence the U.S. We have seen how Obama had to pedal backwards. We have seen how all presidents have to pedal backwards, and they all become brave after they resign. Look at Carter. One other point where I disagree with you is that I disagree that Iran can do much against Israel. Israel has by far a more superior power. I don't think that Iran can react, of course, but relative to Israel, all countries around her are puppies.
I really don't think that's right, Nadim. Stay on the line. I want to debate that with you. Of course, Nadim, Israel has hundreds of nuclear weapons in secret, undeclared, uninspected, illegally acquired, illegally held. But if there's one thing I think you can be sure of, the United States could not possibly allow nuclear weapons to be fired by Israel against Iran. Not least because when the wind changes, all of their satrapies in the Persian Gulf would be gassed with radioactivity and their desert kingdoms reduced to a nuclear winter. So there will be no use of nuclear weapons by Israel against Iran, and that means a conventional war. Now, on a conventional level, Nadim, Iran is more than a match for Israel. It has the missile technology, it has the anti-aircraft technology, it has the men, it has the money, it has the spirit. I don't believe at all that in a conventional war, 6 million Israelis would triumph over 70 million Iranians. Not least because Iran has friends all over the world, including in Palestine and in Lebanon and in Syria. So I think you've got the balance of power wrong there, Nadim. Go on.
Well, you've spoken of three allies of Israel, who, for the time being, are neutralized, be it in Lebanon, in Syria, or in Palestine. On another point, I think that Israel has tactical bombs that will not spread nuclear to all the Arab world, but more tactical, which will be more realized. I'm sure that Israel has the technology, and if it doesn't have it, it has stolen it from other countries. I'm sure it has it, and I think that Iran cannot reasonably, I think they're very intelligent and they know what they're doing, cannot reasonably attack Israel or confront Israel. I think Israel...
Well, of course, Nadim, it wouldn't just be Israel. If Israel were to attack Iran, the entire region would become a battleground. I'm right, yeah? The Straits of Hormuz would become a battlefield.
Correct.
The puppet regimes that are hosting the American military bases in the region will become a battleground. Qatar, Qatar's northern fields will be on fire 1 hour after an Israeli attack on Iran.
Israel doesn't care. Israel doesn't care about...
But the United States has to care, Nadim. And therefore, the United States will stop it. That's my point. Anyway, look, it's been a pleasure disagreeing with you. You're a great caller. I hope you'll stay in touch. Nadim in Nice, in France, is followed by Jonathan in Birmingham. Has the world forgotten Iraq, Jonathan? Go ahead. Jonathan, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm there.
Go on, you're on the air.
Right. Hello, George.
Yes, turn the volume on your television down, Jonathan.
Excuse me?
Okay, go ahead.
Hello, good evening, George.
Jonathan.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Right. Thanks a lot, George. I'm really, really very sad for the Muslim Ummah that they have all forgotten about Iraq. But rather unfortunate, the Mufti that spoke on the day of Arafat, he spoke very nicely. He didn't speak of Shia or Sunni. He said Muslims. So why can't Muslims come together at least and fight their common enemy, and that is Israel? And that Mufti also said that Muslims should not take their enemies as friends. But all Muslims have come together and they're taking America and England as their friends. These friends are not going to help them. So Arabs, it's better Arabs should come together, know what has happened to Iraq. The same thing is going to happen to Syria if they're not careful. After Syria, then they're going to other countries and they will break all completely all Arab states. That's what
okay, Jonathan, I understand your point of view, but I think it's too pessimistic. As indeed I think Nadim was also. But I want to hear other views on this show, so call me. But if you get through, make sure the volume on your television is at zero, or I'll really have to move on. Musa's on the line in Nigeria. What would reassure Israel about Iran, Musa?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, I would like to commend the effort of Mr. George Galloway.
Thank you, sir.
And also, I wish to thank the management of Press TV because that is the only alternative channel that we have in the whole world today.
Well, thanks, Musa. I appreciate that. Now turn the volume on your TV down and go ahead.
Okay.
Wallahi, it doesn't matter how many times I say it. Go ahead, Musa.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm on the line now. Mr. Galloway, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, sir.
No, I really have to move on. Musa, I'm sorry, brother, but I have said at least 10 times this evening, if you get on the line with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero. Rahab Ali is in London. Next caller. Go ahead, Rahab.
Thank you very much for giving me this chance to join this evening.
You're welcome.
I've got a few comments. I just wrote it down as this is my first time to join your program.
Welcome.
And I'll just put it to you. To me, America's strategy in the Middle East has lost its spark. America lost Iraq. And now America is losing Saudi Arabia. And also, as I am from Egypt, I can see America now is losing Egypt.
Yeah, and Bahrain. And by the way, Bahrain, it can only be a matter of time. Now that they're shooting down dead teenagers in the street, now that they've purchased more cans of tear gas than there are people in the country,
yes,
it's only a matter of time before this regime falls. Go ahead, Rehab. Yes.
And America also is losing Syria in front of us. And the reason for all this is the mess in the foreign policies in American part.
You're right.
On the other hand, Iran knows its targets, and all Shias on the ground are supporting her in her moves in Iraq, in Syria, and Lebanon. Now, on the ground, we have seen like Shiite triangle is formed, Tehran, Baghdad, Damascus, and Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Yes, go ahead, Rahab.
Yeah, that's it. This is my
comment. Well, it's fine. It's very, very good. And you don't need to write it down next time because you are very fluent indeed. Thanks very much indeed. Oh. Rahab Ali in London, a first-time caller, making very powerful points. The tables have turned. As Rahab, who is an Egyptian, put it, the United States has lost Egypt. It never had Palestine, even though if it had one or two Palestinian leaders. It has lost Lebanon. It has lost Syria. It has lost Iraq. It is losing Saudi Arabia. It lost long ago the great Yemen. And Bahrain is a dictatorship on its last legs. And I agreed very much with a phrase that Rahab used, which is that the American policy in the Middle East has really badly lost its way and is indeed mutually contradictory from one country to the next, which in another era you might have gotten away with. But in the era of 24/7 blitz media, where everyone knows everything that's going on at the touch of a button everywhere in the world, you simply can't proceed with two faces facing in opposite directions. Abdul's on the line in Italy, Bergamo. Abdul, welcome to the show.
And I agree very much with the phrase that we have.
Abdul, put the volume down to zero and proceed, please.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Welcome.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
My opinion is that I don't understand why Muslims are killing themselves each other. They are saying Sunni, this one are saying Shia. And that Al-Qaeda people, that American, Saudi, Qatar are supporting in Iraq, that same people, they go to fight in Mali. That's well, I don't understand.
Well, this is a point I put to David Cameron. I asked him, what's the difference between the Al-Qaeda we're going to Mali to kill and the Al-Qaeda we're giving money and weapons to in Syria?
In Syria.
He had no answer, of course. But it's now more and more clear that that contradiction is at the heart of the problem of the Anglo-American alliance in the region. And these countries that you talk about in the Persian Gulf, Qatar, for example, I'm campaigning to get a poet out of a dungeon in Qatar where he's been languishing, having been sentenced to 15 years in a dungeon for writing a poem which was held to be insulting to the king. Imagine, in 2013, in the country chosen to have the World Cup, a poet gets 15 years in prison for writing a poem the king didn't like. You couldn't make that up. Abdul Majid's on the line in Mombasa, in Kenya. Better hear from him. Abdul Majid, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, go on, you're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum, Mr. George.
Wa alaikum salam. Welcome to the show, sir. Go ahead.
All right. I'm very proud of to get this opportunity of talking to you, Mr. George.
Thank you, brother.
All right. I want to talk about Iran.
Yes.
Iran made it very grateful to go to talk with the world powers and have peace and have to bring peace in the Middle East.
Mm.
If they're going to bring peace in the Middle East, there will be no war. No war at all. And Israel is going to be defeated.
So you're saying Israel needs war and therefore must endlessly reinterpret situations and create war, even where there's not the remotest reason for a war, yeah?
Yeah, Israel wants to be the leader of the Middle East. That's why he brings war in the Middle East.
But that's simply, Abdul-Majid, that's simply illogical. There's only 6 million Israelis. There's 350 million Arabs. There's 70 million Iranians. There is 2 billion Muslims in the world. How can they be the leader of the Middle East? I'll tell you, they can only call the shots, Abdul-Majid, because of the rotten dictatorships that rule most of the Muslim countries from one end to the other. I'm sure you agree with me. Thanks for that call. Got to go to Africa, Gambia. Karang is on the line. Karang, welcome. Go on, Karang.
Oh, George.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
What I don't understand, why Israel, they are against for Iraq, Tehran to have their nuclear listing for peaceful purpose?
Well, they want to have a Muslim world that is technologically backward. Karang, you're going to have to put the volume on your TV down.
Yeah, and at the same time, whilst Israel, the whole world is seeing how they are killing the Palestinians over how many years now?
More than 60 years.
On Saddam, on Gaddafi. But what about Israel? Why the Americans and the British are sitting
Karang, there's one law for Israel and there's a different law for everybody else. That's the truth in this world. Must press on. Amin is in Isfahan, the wonderful city, the wonder of the world that is Isfahan in Iran. Amin, has the world forgotten Iraq? Amin? What a pity after I just...
Hi, George.
Yes, go ahead, Amin. Go ahead.
I want to say about the relationship between Israel and Iran.
Yes, go on. Of course. Go on.
I assure you that the power of Israel is a big lie, I think. The lie that they proved in video games, in movies, and in channels like CNN, BBC, in news. All a big lie, I think. That's it. The answer of the question that why the Israel don't make a war with Iran is that it's not a rocket. It's not about the rocket. It's not about the military power of Iran. I think it's about the fear. They fear Muslims. They fear power of Islam, I think, and about the relationship between Israel and Iran. I think Sayyid Ali Khamenei, Israel is like a wolf and Iran is like a sheep. Sheep can't be friends with wolves, you know.
Good call and good, powerful point. I mean, let me press on because I have so many people to fit in. David's in London. David, go on, please.
Hello?
Yes, David, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, George. How are you doing? I haven't seen you for a long time.
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling.
I met you at Dylan's gig in 2007 up at Wembley.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to see Dylan in the Albert Hall next month.
And it was me. Do you remember me getting kicked out of the seat in about the third row? I stolen somebody else's seat and they told me to get lost.
I don't remember. Anyway, David, let's go on.
George, the reason I called you more than anything else is I watched what happened between Israel and Gaza, but I watched it 3 weeks after it happened in 2008/2009 because I couldn't cope with what they were doing to them, and I knew what was happening as it was going on, and it was just at that time of the year, it was just too much for me. And when I did get around to viewing it, I looked at 1,000 pictures of really, really mashed up kids and houses and structures, and it took me 12 hours to watch it all. And then I went down to the kitchen and did my dinner, and I came up here and I wrote this, what I think is a devastating poem about what they did. And that was actually the main reason I rang you tonight.
Well, do you want to send it to us and we'll put it up, David, yeah?
Oh, I will, of course. But do you want me to... The best thing you could do is ask me a question and I'll give you the answer.
if you send me the poem, send it to me. Send it to me at gallowayg@parliament.uk and I'll make sure that we read out at least excerpts from it. David, thanks for the call from London. We are talking tonight about Iran and Iraq, asking if the world has forgotten about Iraq. That's the country they invaded and they occupied, and they killed 1 million people in, and they drove 3 million people into exile, and they scattered them to the four corners of the earth, and sectarianized militia took over their own areas, and Iraq became not one country, but several countries. And the recent turn of Al-Qaeda back to sectarian war, genocidal war against people for no other reason than that they are of a different Muslim current to themselves. Indeed, they're ready to murder people of their own current if their interpretation of that current isn't exactly the same of theirs, has led to widespread slaughter. 1,000 people in July alone, more than 1,000, were murdered in Iraq. Thousands have been murdered this year. We're back to the very worst of times in Iraq. And it's Al-Qaeda to blame, says the Prime Minister of Iraq. The same Al-Qaeda who have caused 100,000 deaths on both sides of the war in Syria over the last 30 months. And can Iran do anything? Should Iran do anything to appease Mr. Netanyahu? The answer is no and no. Iran sticking to its principles will always be the adversary of Netanyahu's Zionist state. But the rest of the world will have to make peace with Iran. From next Thursday, comment will be 1 hour earlier for viewers in the UK and other countries. 1 hour earlier from next week. God willing, I'll see you then.
Hello, if you just comment, put your name and the country, that number. And just make sure that your television volume is set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You can directly put through the phone number and then we'll do that.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay, so I'll